Baptize Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram and respectful greetings to all our listeners from Team Radio Sai. Thank you for joining us on Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Karuna and I will be your host for this segment called Morning Glory. And yes, with Swami's grace, I hope to bring you an inspiring lineup of programs this morning. Today is the 10th of July, 2014, and we are just 2 days short of the big day, that is Guru Purnima, which incidentally falls on Saturday, July the 12th. So here is wishing all our listeners out there holy, happy Guru Purnima greetings in advance from the entire team at Radio Sai. The time in the studio right now is precisely 9:40 a.m. That's why I paused. I wanted it to turn into 9:40 so I could say that. And as you can well imagine, Prashanthi Nilayam is currently wearing a festive look as it is all in the grip of Guru Purnima spirit. Everything is geared towards Guru Purnima celebrations. Actually, everything about our Prashanthi Nilayam is divine right now, including the weather. Our skies are mostly overcast and the temperatures are only in the 20s. That is both the highs and the lows. Right now, the mercury outside the Prashanthi Digital Studio is at 23 degrees Celsius with expected maximum of 27 to 28 degrees this afternoon and overnight lows of only 22 Celsius. On that very pleasant note, I'm happy to provide you with a quick wrap-up of what's happening here in Prashanthi. On July 8, 2014, a 3-day conference on Satya Sai education concluded at Prashanthi Nilayam. Eminent educators, including 284 teachers from over 55 countries, came together to participate in this landmark conference organized by the Sri Satya Sai International Organization. Representatives from 28 institutes of Satya Sai education and 40 Satya Sai schools worldwide spent 3 days discussing Baba's teachings on Educare and the Satya Sai Education in Human Values program. With a view to take further Baba's vision on education, several areas were deliberated upon during this conference. Talks and workshops explored a variety of best practices for delivering Satya Sai education, including, very importantly, training programs, quality assurance, accreditation, school and community partnerships, ideal parenting, and many others. Delegates agreed that whether they are in South Africa, Indonesia, Brazil, China, United States, Canada, Fiji, or Australia, all are focused on the same goal of promoting education based on the 5 human values of truth, right conduct, peace, love, and nonviolence. They were unified in their objective of promoting world peace and prosperity through love and the practice of these human values. The delegates also affirmed that this vision of a better world can be achieved only by working cooperatively to share innovative ideas and transferable resources that can be adapted to their local cultures and conditions. And everyone realized that the key to sustainable success is based on their own dedication and practice of the 5 core human values. I think that's very, very important, don't you agree? Now, coinciding with the education conference is this Pandharipur brand of devotional fervor, as Maharashtra and Goa are here on their annual pilgrimage to offer themselves to their Sai Vithala on Ashadi Ekadashi and Guru Purnima. This is a tradition that has become part of a very exciting and something that we look forward to, part of our Prashanthi Nilayam calendar, and taking this Guru Purnima mood a notch up or two. The disciplined Balvikas children and the talented artists from Maharashtra and Goa are here belting out Vedam, dramas, instrumental and vocal music and bhajans of the quality and caliber that has now become a benchmark for many to aspire towards. In short, it's celebrations, celebrations and only celebrations that are going on here in Prashanthi Nilayam to glorify the Sadguru of all Gurus, universal teacher to humanity, the Purna Avatar, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. At his divine lotus feet, Team Radio Sai bows along with all our listeners. Coming up on Morning Glory today, a brand new episode of Tris with Divinity as well as a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Today's Trist interview is with Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore, a simple and focused servant of God who was touched by Baba's grace and transformed to become his chosen instrument. This, dear sisters and brothers, is a story of how God can empower us and achieve extraordinary feats through us. But why is it that not all of us make the cut? Today, Mrs. Vimala Shyam will share with us the degree of obedience, discipline and sacrifice that is needed to get there. Her Trist with interview will be followed by our feature presentation, Fleeting Moments. Under the spotlight on the Fleeting Moments segment is Mr. B.S. Vijay Sai, a Sai University alumnus who currently lives in Bangalore. So, let's take off Morning Glory with part one of our brand new Trist with Divinity interview with Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore. And this will come up shortly after this important message.
I had a lot of fractures, I had a lot of bruises and I had breathing problems, but it was Baba, Baba, Baba every day. With every breath, with every step I would take while running, it would be Om Shri Sai Ram.
Well, it actually all started with my mother getting a vision of Swami. This was in 1970 when she was cooking.
There were lots of roses and of course tiny little rosebuds which was nowhere ready to bloom. And he just touched it with his finger. Mm-hmm. And just like a movie or a video, mm-hmm. right in front of my eyes, you know, this rosebud started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and opened out into a beautiful rose.
Love all, serve all, we've made as famous as Swami has at the Hard Rock, because we put it on millions and millions of t-shirts, jackets, buttons, badges, everything. If you got your check, if you work for me at the top, love all, serve all. We put huge signs up in every restaurant around the world.
Trist with Divinity is our weekly series in which we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba from around the globe. You can listen to this on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Thursday at 9:50 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Trist with Divinity, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org, or you can also download and listen to any interview of your choice in this series at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/trist, that is radiosai.org/TRYST or Trist. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, today at Radio Sai, we have with us one of the many unsung heroes, or should I say heroines, of the Sai movement, and I'm honored to sit across from her. Through the decades of the Sai mission's growth, we have often seen women working, teaching, bending, lifting, cleaning, and helping and contributing in many ways. Every single day, thousands of devout and hard-working women serve the Sai organization silently as seva dals, as medical professionals, teachers, administrators and whatnot. But rarely do we hear from them or of them. The women in the Sai mission have generally led from behind, and their actions have made up for the lack of their voices. So today, we are all the more pleased that one of them, Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore, has kindly agreed to come to share with us her journey to her master and the lessons she has gathered along the way. Let me introduce you to Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore. Vimala ji was born in 1952 into a traditional and spiritual family. Her father, late Mr. Sadashiva Raju, Joint Director, Industries and Commerce, was a highly service-oriented person. Her mother, Mrs. Subhadra Devi, was a spiritual-minded homemaker. A Bachelor of Arts graduate, Mrs. Vimala Shyam is married to Mr. Shyam Sundar Raju, an engineer, and is a mother of two grown-up children and one grandchild. She first saw Swami in the year 1969, and since that day, Seva or selfless service became the motto, purpose, strength and goal of her life. And she did it all within the framework of an Indian marriage, motherhood and the rest of the so-called trappings that come with family life. Serving selflessly and silently has been the greatest joy and source of Vimla Ji's strength. It has taught her much and bestowed upon her even more. As Bhagwan says, "You do my work and I will take care of your work." She has walked the talk, been there and done it all. And providentially, unknown to us till about 2 minutes ago, today happens to be Vimla Ji's 61st birthday. Sai Ram Vimla Ji, many happy returns of the day and a loving welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, thank you so much.
Vimla Ji, you have dedicated your life to selfless service in the Sai mission. Why don't you want to do more fun things in life?
Sai Ram, my upbringing is so that I was already told in your introduction that I come from a traditional plus service-oriented patronage. So that made the foundation for me, especially my father who worked in Ramakrishna mission serving, really taught me what is service means. At the same time, mother is a spiritual oriented lady. Of course, that is also a must for me as a daughter of the family. I had to learn from her all the spiritual pujas, every formalities, whatever it is. But my father, on the other hand, told me more than this, the service to God is learned from very early age. Because he was, when I was saying, narrating the incidents, he was helping the poor and needy in his Ramakrishna mission. He says, whatever you do in your life, but keep in your mind that service is the highest, that is you can consider as a puja to God. That when the young mind absorbed that, maybe it has initiated me and started searching for the way how I can go about this. Because there are so many spiritual organizations who are doing the service part of it. But which one to choose from, that I was not sure of in the initial stages. So my mind was reading so many books. Of course, Ramakrishna, since it has been mentioned, I was reading Ramakrishna books, Gospel of Ramakrishna. That gave me the in-depth of spirituality, which I wanted to experience. I didn't feel that that place don't give me that much of what my mind was craving for. So as I went through that, somehow I come across Swami's books. When I read that, then I realized this is what I am looking for. Because it is very simple and common to a common man. Common teachings to a common man, which is really, of course, in depth it is highest. But for a common man, it's very appealing. This suited my mind as
a
common
person. You were a young girl at that time.
Yeah, young girl. Because I was, from childhood, my mother was saying, I'm very much passionate towards spirituality, to be frank with you. Innerly, I am really yearning for something divine, which I don't know myself. Later, it developed. Of course, I had to go through my social life like any other, because that is the way we wanted. So I grew up like this. At the age of 17, I was very young, unmarried. We were devotees of Shirdi Sai Baba. Because when my sister was young, some sadhu came and gave Shirdi Baba photo. And my father, you know, head of the family, whatever he says he was sitting on a snake. Maybe he is a very great saint. We started worshipping. Later on, of course, we visited Shirdi. That is another unique experience.
Shirdi Baba on the picture was sitting on a snake?
Yes.
It was a real picture?
A sort of a picture. It is not a real... It is a photo of Shirdi Baba sitting on a snake. It's still there with us, that one. And my sister brought it home saying that worshipping this Babaji, I think everything will be very good. Since then we have started and we became very staunch devotee of Shirdi Baba. And of course, we 2-3 times we had been to Shirdi. The third time, before my daughter was born, we had been to Shirdi. Because before that, once we went and I prayed for my children, then I got my daughter, that when the child born we bring, so we brought that child to Shirdi. She was 3-year-old that time. That time they used to allow us on the platform and garland Shirdi Baba. So I purchased a very big mala of there near the Shirdi. I found a, and I went there. So we were allowed on the platform. Usually Panditji used to take that and put it on Shirdi. But I told him, no, I want to put this myself. Please allow me. I requested him. He said, okay, you do it. Believe it or not, that is, I can't explain this. As I was garlanding, Shirdi Baba became alive. I mean, he came into a real life. I saw a real Shirdi sitting there. I started profusely sweating. I couldn't believe myself that what I saw. And I went back home. And I think after that, I think this, later I joined Swamis. After this, I think there is somehow everything worked out in such a way that I could come to Baba, Swami.
So the marble statue became
a real Shirdi. I saw that real Shirdi sitting when I garlanded. And when completely, I was just standing there and looking there, you know, to real Shirdi. My whole body was shivering and sweat started, pouring. Everybody thought something wrong with me. I couldn't even speak. I came back to my room and then I told what happened. They were all surprised. After that, I think maybe things work out in such a way. Swami has drawn me to him.
That was the beginning of your journey to Satya Sai.
Yeah, that is the beginning, I feel. That is the beginning of Satya Sai.
Now, how did Swami come into the picture?
Because when I am staying in with my parents, the upstairs we have given to some Malaysian Gujarati devotees. I mean, Swami devotees rented the house for, and whenever Swami they used to come, they are very close devotees of Swami. They used to come and visit Swami in Vrindavan. And they were getting interviews also, and they used to tell about Swami. I don't know, that time my father was not believing in Swami. He said, no sannyasis, just like that. No, I don't allow anybody to go like that and all. They started convincing, no, he's a Shirdi reincarnation, you know that he's really, you don't believe and all that. And my father was really hesitating. We were not, of course, allowed to go. Suddenly, my only brother was very sick. He is actually mentally challenged and physically, not completely all right. The reason is he was epilepsy. He was having epilepsy, and it is a petit mal epilepsy. He used to fall without a notice, and he used to hit anything, and the blood comes out like that. We don't know when that comes. He walks. We can't watch him all the time. That was a condition. So happened that that day I told you that is a accident. This is the accident happened. He was very badly, hit a corner of a table, and he was blood oozed out, and he's very damaged, very much.
How old was he at that time?
He is older than me, 1.5 years older than me.
And this happened a long time ago.
A long time.
He would have been a teenager.
Yeah, he was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And that time, it is maybe it is around that same time, 69. What is that? Around
exactly.
That time only it was happening.
Yeah.
And they said, why don't you bring to Swami, because he can do something. That time, mine will become my father also. My mother mostly persuaded my father. Why can't we go? They are saying so much.
Trying.
He's a great saint and all that. Why can't you? We go and let us try. Let us once go and see. What is? If you don't like, we can come back. And the day we went, first day of Vrindavan, Swami came to Vrindavan that day. They told us to go. We had some old English car that my father drove there. And we went there. And
1969.
And then we went there. And that was, Vrindavan is a different place. Yeah. It's an old mandir was
small
there.
Small bungalow.
Full of trees. Mm. And, you know, the small shed of Sairam shed was there. And it is like a small group of devotees also. Not very big gathering. And they used to sit like lines, two lines from the mandir on the path, both the sides. Swami used to walk and, you know, take letters, whatever it is. And we saw that day Swami just came for darshan. He went and the people were singing bhajans in the Sairam shed. We liked the bhajans. We sat there and Swami came there and we went. Nothing happened that day. Morning, nothing happened. As, you know, we were just watching and suddenly my father saw Mr. Kasturi Garu was walking towards Swami's mandir. He was supposed to be his teacher in his college times. He was so surprised to see, he ran behind him and he spoke to him and he said, oh, yes, yes, I am busy, please stay for the evening, I'll talk to you later. He went away because he was in a hurry to meet Swami. He went inside. Then my father came, see, it must be really, because he is a district master, this Mr. Kasigar, so let us stay for the evening and all. It was a village step, even very hardly we could get anything to eat there and we stayed back till the evening and evening there is one more darshan and we told the volunteers the problem with my, they said, see all the girls and all cannot stay here, ladies and gents are separate, in that case let the young girls be seated in the bhajans and you both, husband and wife with the son stand near a tree when Swami comes, let us see what happens. Swami came that day and when Swami came he saw my father straight, he came to my father, he said, oh, you're standing, why don't you sit, he said. My father was very happy that Swami spoke to him and then he looked at my brother and looked at my mother. My mother already in tears wanted to tell what has happened to my brother and all. See, Swami said, I know everything. You don't have to tell me anything. No problem. I take care. Don't worry. I take care of this. And he created Vibhuti and gave it to my brother and put his tilak on his Vibhuti tilak on his head. Said, don't worry. And that made them very happy. And Swami, they said, and we were watching. I and my sisters were watching from the distance. And this was happened. And then after that, we came back. And really, that is another miracle we saw that day when the car came back. We didn't know. We came back home. Somewhere it stopped and people wanted to see what Swami has spoken. You know, they were all curious and all. But we came back home and to our surprise, actually dynamo was not working. The car came back. It's an old car, you know. They said that the mechanic, when it came, it stopped near our house and dynamo in that car was not working. In spite of that, it came back home. Mm. And that sort of a...
was a miracle in itself.
A miracle in itself. And we were not sure what type of this. And it was... my father somehow started convinced. He started going to... because his Swami spoke, some attraction, you know, first when Swami speaks, that attraction comes and we started going for the darshans. He started taking us and all. And one darshan, Swami was about to go to back to Parthi and he came to the darshan line, stood in front of my father. He said, darshan, darshan, darshan. And three times he said and he left. My father didn't know anything. So we came back, we couldn't understand. Nobody could tell what exactly, you know, Swami's way of talking, nobody could. So we came back and then back home, suddenly my father, I don't know what made him to say, this time Shivratri we are going to Puttaparthi. We don't know where is Puttaparthi. He found out that is on Andhra side and he said, suddenly said, early morning we go, we take food, we don't know, because last time we had the experience in near Vrindavan, there's no food, we'll take So we went, we packed the food early morning, 4:30 we left, 7:30 we came to Parthi. Actually we missed the route. We went a little towards, further down, for a few miles, 8 kilometers. Then my father said something out, somebody we asked, they said you have already come further, you have to go back. Again we came back and we took this Parthi route. It was quite rough those times. And we came to Parthi and that time when we entered, the pendal was erected and bhajans were starting just then 7:30. Om, the moment we entered, it started Om. So bhajans was going on and Sai Geeta was standing next to it. And the old, Purnachandra was not there. In that place only the pendal was erected. So we didn't know anything. We, some gathering was sitting. They told the valiants, you ladies that side, gents this. And we were just went. We wanted to go right in front and see what happens. He said that, and to our surprise, we saw Shirdi Baba statue on the pedestal. What you see in the mandir was there that time on the pedestal. And you know the reaction of that first, as if Shirdi Baba we saw first time in the Parthi. It really, it's a great impact on my father especially. And of course, we are so happy to be in the front. And we were waiting for Swami to come. Swami came, gave darshan, then we went to the dais. And Kasturiji was holding that silver vessel. There, and he put the hand, and started Vibhuti coming. What a profuse that Abhishek. Vibhuti Abhishek was pouring on the, we were all, flabbergasted. It was not stopping because Swami's hand was inside, going on. Whole pendal was full of Vibhuti, like, fog it has covered. And we were all thrilled to see this, in our eyes, and we were watching. We don't know anything. We came there and we saw all this and we were so happy. That's why Swami must have told us darshan. So this darshan is again, he gave us darshan and after that he left. And then we thought, okay, everything is over. We will go back, have our food and we go back. When we came again to the car, of course my brother was sick that time and my father brought him there and we were taking back him and he told, somebody told me to, evening there is another special thing, but they didn't tell me what it is, but he said you must see it and go, they told me. So let us not take our son there because he is sick boy, let him sleep in the car. And we had food and made him to sleep in the car. 4 o'clock it's starting, let us go there. So we all again, we were happy, okay, darshan we get and we went there. So again the same thing happened, ladies' side we were sitting, my father, but my brother was in. And Swami came and he gave darshan, he went to dais and he sat and started giving speech. We thought, okay, speech is there, started giving discourse. Then he stood up and after some time he sat down and he started, he seems to be, sort of a sweat. He was sweating and taking water, taking his hanky and wiping, drinking water, keeping on the table and all that. We thought maybe he has taken into something, is not well. Baba is not well. That's why he said, we all started thinking he is not well. Why he sat down suddenly and he's happening and all something may, we were just watching what is going to happen. Because we are quite close quarters watching, suddenly we saw Swami, hiccups started coming. And then, as we were watching, he was watching like, as usual, he was hiccuping, putting his hanky and putting on his mouth and all. Suddenly, we saw that the round-shaped thing came on the hanky. He just took it out, and on the hanky, and just the moment it has come out, I don't know, the energy came back to Swami. Suddenly, he stood up, like a spring on the from the chair, and he showed that lingam on that. It is a transparent skin and a jyoti linga. It's a jyoti, I could see that, prism, it was, all colors were coming out of it. He showed, and he came to all of, near everyone and showing like this, And we were all surprised to see that, And then he went back, he again resumed his discourse, saying, today what you saw is a unique manifestation of lingam. It has come out, and those who are in this audience, who are witnessing this emerging of this lingam, are not born again. No rebirth for them. Really, no, flabbergasted to hear this from Swami. Really, is it true? Is it like, you know, mind start asking, is it true that we don't have rebirth? And we felt very bad. What his words exactly was, those who are in this pandal, who are watching this, lingam emerging will not. Unfortunately, my brother was in the car.
He was sleeping in the car, right?
He was in the car sleeping. And we felt, maybe it's all predestined, we don't know. So, after that, we will return back home. We return back home and, of course, we didn't come to Parthi again, but we, whenever Swami comes, we used to go.
To Whitefield.
Whitefield and all that. After that, the magnetic attraction has entered my, this is the guru or daivam, whomever I have seen has entered my, I should serve him. What my father told services, what Swami is preaching, all that I want to experience. It is not just to go and ask him the boons. I want to experience. I am very investigating with a sort of a adventurous type. I want to see what exactly it means. I want to, but I wanted a chance to go because I can't, because my father refused. You can't join any volunteership. You are unmarried. I don't allow you. You know, those days it is very conservative type. My father was very conservative, though he's highly educated, very highly educated. My father, and he was very conservative. So he asked us to stay back home. Then the gap came, you know, but the seed has been sown into me. That start going.
But it wasn't too long before you became such an active person. Now, even as a married woman and a mother of two children, you decided to be an active sevadal. And doing all that amount of seva takes a lot of time. How did you manage to do both? To serve Swami's mission and also be take care of your family, be a wife, be a mother, be a daughter-in-law. How did you do it all?
Yes, it is like where there is a will, there is a way. It is my intense yearning to go near and experience. For this, any amount of efforts I can do. To achieve something, you have to sacrifice something. Of course, before entering, I wanted to join as a volunteer. By that time, I was married into a family. That is my mother's brother. I married brother's son only. So, mamas, that is allowed in our families. Yes. So, married. So, they also, Swami took, before my marriage, they came to Swami. One of his brother was a Sai devotee. So, my in-laws also went to Swami. So, we both were, like, you know, I'm so fortunate that before my marriage, they were inducted to Swami's fold.
Okay.
My mother-in-law, on the whole, became very devoted to Swami. She is, you know, so after marriage, actually I wanted to go and serve, but there was no, because, of course, for 5 years, I didn't have children, because we married very early age. When I married, I was 21 year old, and my husband was only 25 or 26. So, he was just, joined the job. So he said, we will have 5 years later. But I was not allowed to. But my yearning is really intense. Reading his books, I was used to alone sob, cry. Swami, you have taken, I read so many experiences. You call so many people so close to you. Why you are not calling me? How I can come to you with all these families and all that, you know. I can't, really it was unbearable and all that. Then one of, you know, Venkatagiri family, lady, my mother-in-law's sister-in-law, she told my mother-in-law, please, because I was exchanging my thoughts with her, and she told me, she advised my mother-in-law, better you give her an opening so that she can go and work. She's really, it is not like any other places, are different altogether. And she wants to go, because I exchanged my inner feelings with her. She told my mother-in-law, allow her to go. She will do the really good. It is not like going for any worldly things or anything. It's a very good place you can go, and it is very safe. Men and ladies worked, you know, it is separate, something. She is, then my mother-in-law, so anyway, she was also seen Swami. She said, okay. So 60th birthday was coming, approaching that time. That is that time my mind was that I should go and serve Swami during 60th birthday. It was a big given that time.
1985. Yes.
That was I told you, know, before that there was a gap, that I was, no marriage was taken place and all that family. Okay, I was, but my mind was constantly awesome. Wanted to push myself towards this. I decided.
How old were your children at in 1985?
My daughter was, she's 80 born. She's 4 years older.
4 year old.
He was 1.5 year.
Okay.
84. So finally.
So, 4 year old and a 1 year old.
1 year old child. That's the difference. And before then, I asked someone, they said, you will have to enroll as a, I was searching, you have to become a Samiti member.
Uh-huh.
I was searching for a Samiti. I was in Jayanagar of Bangalore. I wanted to join a Samiti. I didn't get any Samiti. And I searched, I don't know, because I didn't know any information about where the Samiti, how the Samiti, what is Samiti and all that. So then I had a dream. That in my dream, somebody told me what is the place of Samiti and where is it. In the fifth block of Jayanagar, the upstairs, there is Dr. Padmanabh's house, there is one place. Mr. Chakravarti, he's also a very great devotee, close to Swami. He and his wife was running a Samiti there. That was shown in my dream. I went in search of that. That address was given in my dream. So I went there and
Just you don't know who gave you the address.
I don't know.
Just a voice.
A voice or something like that. A sort of information. This is the cross where this stays. When I searched, then I found that Swami photo was there, and I went and asked, yes, this is a Samiti. So then I joined that Samiti. With Dr. Padmanabhan's daughter was the Balvikas guru, and she said, you can also join Balvikas and all that, she said. I said, whatever it is. This thing was coming up. Swami 60th, the preparations was going on, and this Samiti was attached to a slum, Maranelli slum in Jayanagar. There, Narayan Seva was regularly going on, so they asked me to participate in that. So I went and participated, because my mind mainly was to come to Swami's birthday and give my offering, my services as an offering. For that, I was making the preparation. This is before 1985, just before, like November. Maybe 3-4 months back, I joined this to make myself eligible to this thing. And I served in the hospital. Whatever they said, I did it to get the a card or a identity, because they said 60th birthday, there's no, unless you have an identity, there's no way. That is how I went to Mrs. Kamala Padmanabhan, asked, auntie, I want to, can you give me some identity to go there? She said, are you going as a Balvikas? No, I am not going. I want to be in service. She was not very happy. Then, in that case, you have to go and meet Mrs. Sarojamma. She is the head of the service thing, and she will tell you, give you the ID card. I can't give you, because you are not a Balvikas. I didn't know. Where is she? She is in Vrindavan. You go and approach her. Then I realized she is from Vrindavan. And I contacted Mrs. Sarojamma aunty, and she said, you come to Parthi, I will enroll you there, not here in Vrindavan, you come there, she told me. So then I said, okay, I have to go. Then I took the permission from my mother-in-law. I prepared to go. I left my daughter with my sister, 4 year old, to take care. But 1.5 year old, my mother-in-law said, I'll come with you. I'll take care of your son, because I was feeding him. So he says, yeah, I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. I will also get a chance to see. It was much more helpful than my mother-in-law coming along with us child. So we came 1 month before to Parthi for Swami's 60th birthday. I came here and nobody recognized. And Sarojamma was not there. Wherever I go, where is your ID from? What is your ID and all? I didn't have any ID. That time I used to come near Swami's Mandir, right in front of Mandir, near that tree was there. We were allowed there. In the main gate, I was standing there and looking at Swami's day and night. I prayed, Swami, give me a chance to serve you. Please enroll me. I don't know anything here. I don't know anything. I want to serve. That much of intensity I prayed, day and waiting for Sarojamma auntie to come. She came after 10 days. She came.
10 days you persisted?
I persisted, stayed there. And then I used to go to canteen and wash dishes.
Yeah, that doesn't require an identity card.
They used to come and call us. So I used to go there and do that service. But I wanted to be a regular volunteer. Then the day came, she arrived. I came very happy. And I came to her. And she said, she called Neetu Singh, you know, from the, she was there, she called someone, she called and said, take her as a volunteer for the, enroller. With her reference, they enrolled me as a one of the volunteer, all India level volunteer to do service. They said, he has a very long, Sarojamma said, you have a small child, why do you come here like this? And where the child stays? I said, my mother-in-law has come with me, she will take, where you will give me the place? She said, I will tell somebody to allot you something. Then when we went, they allotted one veranda corner to stay. I didn't have any place to stay, no. So that, because usually the volunteer all the rooms were booked at that time. So it not available. One veranda we can give you some shelter where the child can, your mother-in-law can keep the child. I said yes. And so my mother-in-law has stayed in that corner with me and all. So I started serving Swami. And in 1 month's time, I had the experience of devotees serving Swami. What type of devotees come? How do they, all over India, the devotees came. And it was there was no buildings, nothing. They were going to construct. So the lands to be cleared and all that, you know, very difficult. Land work we had to do. Without even sometimes, they used to give only the stones to pull out the grass and all that, you know. And I used to, very intensively, I worked with them because that intensity was it. Given a chance, it was like, you know, and there were observers who were watching me, how I work and all. They saw.
You had to clean this field of halls.
They used to leave the group of ladies to clear the ground. We used to clear all that.
Was it the stadium?
Here only.
The back of Prashantinilayam.
Prashantinilayam.
Where all these later West blocks
those places. Yeah. It was all, covered.
All full of thorns and
we had to clear because that is the time lot of preparations they were making for the birthday. So they asked us to clear the ground so that they can erect the pendals people can come and see.
Yeah, the ground had to be cleared. It was back-breaking work to squat and pull out weeds all the time. I know my parents have done it for years.
That pull out and all that. That when I was doing, I have two or three experiences where, they used to tell, wherever you are working, when Swami comes, you should not run. You should not go. You should not do this. You should not do that. Like, they were going, I'm following whatever they're saying because I don't want to lose my job because observers were coming behind us to see how we work and all. So they told us, suddenly they came to us and told us, full of sand, that ground, and a group of sevadals were there. Some leader came and told us, see, tomorrow Swami is going to inaugurate some canteen or something. You have to make one road here. And they left. They didn't tell how to make the road. That is one of very. We have to learn ourselves. That is one of the strange thing. Swami always, give seva. But we have to learn. There is no person to say, oh, you have to do this. It is a free will. Given a work, you are in the framework. But it's like a freelance. You have to use your mind and work. Then I started realizing.
No tools. They didn't give you any space.
Nothing like that. Very little, but that is not very helpful. Like, you know, for such a big group of people, we should share like some baskets, like or one or two. And they were all, they went and left and all were standing, you know, because nobody are workers there. They have come from families just for seva sake. They have come and no training, nothing. Who could we make on the sand road? You know, the sand in road, it will come back if you push it also. All were, and I got a very good idea. I told them, see a very, a big amount of red soil, the distance, we bring that soil, we will put like a road on the sand, so that road will be made so that you can see a road in that. Everybody agreed. So we made a big line and we started
carried the red soil.
One by one.
Passing
and made the road. I am the one who is making the road with enthusiasm and all. Started from the morning till evening I was making the road. Till the road was made. Road was so beautifully made with that red soil. It from here to there till where they told that road was made in one path where the Swami's car could go. After finishing that day, end 5:30, 6 o'clock, you finished, they said your work is over, now you can relax. When I got up, they were saying, why you consistently are not allowing anybody to work, you are working like, because I got a chance to do all this. So instant when I got up, I saw that road so, you know, red on the sand with the yellow background. I said, Swami, I want to see your car going on that, marks on that car coming on that sand. I want to see, oh, so nice it would be, you know, what a day. I thought every day we come there and all. The next day, to my surprise, my group was shifted some other place. I was disappointed. We came to a different area altogether. I was working there. They didn't give me. And I was thinking, suddenly somebody came, some leader came, said, see, girls, you have all, what are you doing here? So yesterday, who has worked, left so many stones next to the road and all that, it should be cleared immediately. Come, they said. And we ran with her, and we went to clear that, so thinking that Swami may come and all that. When I'm lifting one stone, I mean, to keep the side, I saw his mark, the Swami car is already passed, the marks were there already. Like a small child, I started crying. The tears, like coming out like anything, stood up. Looking at that I could not see Swami's car moving on that. I didn't see the marks. See what a wish of that time, you know. Like a small child, I was crying there. Suddenly somebody told, Swami's car coming. I was all the way alerted. I stood up. They told no running, nothing. I was very closer to that area, standing there and, we saw Swami car appeared. Slowly Swami car came where I was working. This Swami car stopped. He pulled down this thing. He said like this, blessed me.
With his hand, Abhayhasta.
Abhayhasta, he blessed me. He raised his hand, looked at me, and the car started moving on the road again. To show me that, that deep mark started falling on that, this thing.
What an acknowledgement.
I said, my goodness, what I thought, how could Swami, everybody was surprised, how come Swami can come again like this, again in the car? He went there to, again he came.
Your wish.
Yeah. This is the realization came. Swami, respond to my feeling. That's the first experience I responded. And one more thing to narrate, another thing, because as I woke, I started experience like this. Another a unique thing I experienced. I was selected, after doing this, I was selected as a leader to the Vrindavan group. They said she is fit to be a leader because the work pattern of her is that the observers given me a promotion that I become the
leader,
and I became the Vrindavan Sevadal's leader in the canteen for a food section. Wow. One of from Karnataka. Mm-hmm. And all were upset, how come this lady we were not seen before, and suddenly she became, and Sarajama said, it's a decision of the observers. This is a different, not, we don't know. We cannot say you appoint from our side and all. Their decision, because I am from Bangalore, they appointed. I took over sir, as a leader, day one, in the canteen, as this thing, I served. Everything is super. I got a very good, because that time I learned the sincerity and commitment is the one thing, is the must and required for a, if you want to serve a Swami, and 100% sincerity and commitment is very much required. I was working 14 hours, and my child, you know, my mother used to take, and I followed all the discipline, whatever say, with the complete, completely I followed the strict discipline enforced. Discipline, one thing, that is also a must. Swami likes it so much. And the response came because of that. And everything was over. And really, my name was came up even in final day. They gave me a bucket of laddus, calling this lady from Bangalore has a wonderful service, because I was taking care of A to Z of that, you know. So I was called on the stage, given the bucket of laddus as a Swami's blessings. And then I came out, it was like a temporary committee leaders and all that. After that, everything is dissolved. I am one of the common devotees as such. So I came back. My feeling was, coming to Swami, having his Pada Darshan was only a complete Darshan. Without seeing Swami's charans, that is not complete Darshan. That was my feeling and my conviction.
His lotus feet.
His lotus feet. Though I didn't see Swami for 1 month, in spite of birthday also, I could not go.
Because you were working behind the scenes.
I was completely dedicated, work given. I didn't want to leave the place. Because
what did you get out of working so hard? Didn't your back break? Weren't you tired? You didn't have a room to stay, sleepless?
I was not aware of my body. That is the one thing. My spirit was just, you know, is in bliss because I got what I wanted. I was experiencing the devotees, the devotion, and the amount of devotion, a love for Swami. That love I experienced there. How much love this, and people all over India with small kids, they want to serve Swami, holding small 6 months old child and even taking the broom and doing. We want to serve this type of devotion. Oh, what they found in Swami, what a love. All that, you know, all Indian devotees I experienced that time. And then after that, everything was over. I just want to have a darshan of charans. In that crowd was so big, huge.
I remember 60th birthday.
It was very huge. Lots of people came. And where do you see the Swamis? Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to return back. My husband was calling that you should come back. Already 1 month is over and mm-hmm. you've been out of Bangalore. I had to get back. And he said, not 1 day more you have to stay after your work is over. I won't allow you. You have to come back. I had to get back the same day. But where do I get Swami's charan? And I couldn't see Swami's charan. It was very painful. In spite of doing all that, there's one more wish, that I didn't see Swami charan. Before going, I want to see Swami's charan. How do I see Swami's? And I said, Swami, I don't know, whatever your wish, I have to get back. There's no way out. And Swami, I want to have his last darshan, that too, in the car darshan. Because I had to leave after some time, morning. Swami went out somewhere. He was coming inside the mandir. They said, I was in the third row or something, standing among the devotees near Purnachandra Hall is there, no? That stupa is there. There I was standing with the three. There's trees were there. I was standing there. Third line I was standing, and Swami's car came out. Swami car came, and Swami was returning. And when Swami was returning, I was seeing, believe it or not, Swami's legs were in front of the seat like this.
Crossed,
giving me darshan of his
lotus feet. He was sitting in the back seat?
Yeah, he was sitting.
So he had put up his feet
up
against
this,
the back of the front seat.
The front seat, he put it like this. I saw.
Crossing them.
Crossing. I had this. I don't know who else. I really, again, tears for me. Then I realized this is the God who responds to sincere heart and devotion. And this is how deep-rooted seed was sown into me to for further this thing. It is a foundation laid in this way. So that this experience has made me convinced Swami's antaryam, I could get the response. I actually, my wish was fulfilled. just like that in the crowd, in the, you know, and a small a devotee's wish fulfilled.
Most beautiful, I must say.
Sai Ram, dear brothers and sisters, welcome back to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time in the ashram right now is 33 minutes past 10 a.m. and today is the 10th of July 2014, and we're just 2 days short of the grand event, the huge divine celebration, Guru Purnima, which falls on Saturday, July the 12th. You just heard part one of our three-part Tryst with Divinity interview with Mrs. Vimala Shyam of Bangalore. I will bring you part two of this interview right here on Morning Glory next week. This conversation, dear sisters and brothers, gets very intense as it progresses, and I suggest you don't miss it for the world. It offers some invaluable takeaways as it goes on. Meanwhile, did you enjoy part one? Your thoughts, comments and suggestions are most welcome by email at listener@radiosai.org. Moving along, I'm pleased to play for you a brand new episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. This is a very recent interview that my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti, recorded with Mr. Vijay Sai of Bangalore, who is an alumnus of the Sai University. And before I play it for your inspiration, I bid you Sai Ram and pray for you to have a saisome awesome day ahead. And I wish you a downpour of Bhagwan's grace and blessings on this upcoming Guru Purnima. Now, as I dedicate this episode of Morning Glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet, I leave you to enjoy part one of Brother Vijay Sai's Fleeting Moments interview. Part two will be aired same time, same place next week. Happy listening and Sai Ram.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. And today's episode is special because I have with me in the studio someone who was gifted with amazing opportunities of physical proximity and direct interaction with Bhagwan for more than a decade. Few students have spoken in front of Swami as many times as he has done. Again, not many students have been blessed to melt the Lord's heart with the kind of soulful singing that he has rendered. And he is Mr. B.S. Vijay Sai. After studying in Bhagwan's college for 5 years, doing his bachelor's in sciences in 1987, which he completed in 1990, he pursued under Bhagwan's direction his master's in arts, majoring in English in 1993. And after that, with Bhagwan's permission and explicit direction, he served as a faculty member in the Department of English in the Vrindavan campus from 1993 to 1998. And I, being someone who was a student at the time, I can assertively say that he belonged to that special category of teachers who went to any extent, who did not mind stretching beyond their limits to help the students grasp the subjects and, more importantly, do well in their lives. There was this huge streak of selflessness and genuine concern for others in him, and this is what really endeared him to so many, and that continues even today. Even though by divine design he had to leave the Vrindavan campus in 1998, but after that he has been actively involved in the alumni activities of Bhagwan's institutions. Every new year he is here in Prashanthi Nilayam when the former students of Bhagwan's institutions pay their homage, offer a music program and have a variety of programs in the Sai Kulwant Hall. And post his stint at the Vrindavan campus, he was in the corporate world in the area of human resource development. He did his PG diploma in human resource and also worked in various companies in this area of man management. And later, his talents and variety of interests took him to many areas, very interesting areas. So now he is a qualified and a certified professional, is a hypno trainer, he's a counselor and a therapist in hypnotherapy, in regression, in aura photography, in energy healing, in radical healing, in family constellation, psychotherapy, and so on. The list goes. I don't even know some of the areas in which he has done his training. He's had 300 days of training in all these various types of alternate healing. Besides this, he also is a visiting faculty in Bhagwan's Vrindavan campus in Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, where he teaches communication skills to Bhagwan students who are pursuing their MBA finance. And apart from all these other passions, he is the director of his own company, which is called Call Ready, which is a learning and development company, which is into soft skills, language, accent, leadership skills. And he does these courses for IT companies and ITES related organizations, HR consulting and so on. So that's something about him. I have definitely not done justice to what he is today, because he's always been a multifaceted personality, and by virtue of that he had had amazing opportunities with Bhagwan because of his talents in so many areas. And now we see that whole gift from Bhagwan has diversified into so many areas, and through that he's being of help to so many people, not just in the Sai in educational institutions, but to the world over. He's done his PG diploma in regression therapy in Tasso Institute in Holland, and as I mentioned, he's into so many areas and extremely busy. So I'm really thankful to Bhagwan for making it possible for us to have this conversation today. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios.
And pleasure.
It's really an opportunity to have you in the studios today.
It's like coming back to mother's house. So it's a pleasure for us to come back. It's like coming back to Mike.
Yes. So when did Swami become your mother?
So I can't define just a mother. It's everything. You know, when you tell the story of Mata, the Pita, the Maven, he is that multifaceted relationship that he has with each of us. One thing is, Swami has always said, with a man, I'm a man, with a woman, I'm a woman, and with a child, I'm a child, and alone, I'm God.
Yes.
So I don't think none of us have seen him as God. Because you only see him as a mother, as a friend, as a beloved, as a guru, as yes. a master, and as a love personified.
Exactly.
I think the reason we use the word mother is when we want to talk of the personification of love. That is the nearest adjective we get, correct. The metaphor we get.
Correct, correct. So there are plenty of things going on in my mind. I'm really tempted to ask you to speak about the amazing three sessions that you had with Bhagwan, the Kodai sessions with Bhagwan, the musical sessions with Bhagwan, the dramas you were involved, and etc., etc. The list goes on. But I think perhaps let's start with where it all began. So did Bhagwan slip into your life, or did he barge into your life, or was it a smooth, natural progression of a devotee falling in love with
Bhagwan? I don't know, probably it was I who barged into his life, because he came into our life much before I was born.
Okay.
My father was working in the Indian Railways. He was in Hubli, okay. In Karnataka, and he had his accounts officer who actually forced him to come with him to Puttaparthi. And with great, my father is a traditional orthodox Brahmin pandit kind of a person who's mastered the Vedas and other things, but he did not believe in all this. And then he came to Puttaparthi.
All this mean a Baba?
A Baba kind of a thing. And
yes.
So it was in the year 1966 that he came to Prashantinilayam for the first time. And in the year 1936, he stayed here for a long time, came twice. He did a lot of tests, lot of tests for Swami, trying to find out whether he's really divine or not. Mm-hmm. And about 8 to 10 of those, Swami showed him that he knew everything. He was omniscient, omnipresent. But still, he was not totally convinced.
Mm-hmm.
There's a turning point that happened in July 1966, which completely brought our family to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, we have a family deity, Lord Venkateshwara.
Okay.
Now, this is not the main Tirupati, which is in... not the main Tirupati, not the Tirumala Tirupati.
Okay.
There's something else called as Male Kallu Tirupati, which is there in Arsikere district of Karnataka,
okay,
which is our family deity.
Oh.
So one of our forefathers has built something for the temple, and so we have, our family has, the rite of first puja on the Rathotsavam day, on the Rath, before the Rath is pulled.
Oh, there is a Rathatra in that temple.
In the temple. In the chariot procession. So on that particular day, the first puja is done by our family members.
Okay.
My father, being the eldest son, was supposed to be there. But by the time, he was almost 60 to 80% convinced that Swami is divine.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in two minds. First thing said, if he is Lord Venkateshwara, why should I go all the way to Arsikere for the Rathotsavam?
Mm-hmm.
Second part of his was, I know, but suppose he is not, then am I not letting down my family deity? How can I believe somebody like this and let go of the regular ritual that is there in my family?
Passed on from generations.
Yes. So finally he decided not to go. And he was here in Prashant Nilayam. But that particular day he had a prayer. The prayer was, Swami, all I want is, I have not heard any bhajan so far with the name Srinivasa or Venkatesha or Tirupatisha. This is 1966. So if a bhajan comes with that particular name, I'll be so happy today, Swami. And he sat there in the darshan line. And it was almost bhajan time. And here he was feeling half guilty and half happy that he's here. Half guilty that he's probably forsaken his own family deity. What will Lord Venkateshwara say? Will he approve of what I'm doing? So he thought, so what? Venkateshwara is everywhere. Let me do Manasa Puja.
Mm-hmm.
So he closed his eyes.
Manasa Puja is you offered the worship in your mind.
Worship in your mind. And my father's ritualistic in his worship. So he mentally chanted whatever he needed to chant, took tulsi leaves mentally, dipped them in sandal paste mentally and offered them to the statue of Lord Venkateshwara of Male Kallu Tirupati. He said, one, okay, I'm doing Manasa Puja for him, again and again. Meanwhile, the Om started because bhajans, it was bhajan time. In the bhajan time, after the Ganesh bhajan, the next bhajan started off with the first line, Srinivasa Venkatesha Tirupatisha Satya Saisha.
Wow.
My father had a vibration going through his entire body, a tingling sensation. He opened his eyes and he saw Swami was completing the lady's side darshan and walking towards the gents. Those are the sands of Padaparthi were there.
Yes.
And as Swami walked by and glided by, he looked at him. And he exactly stood in front of my father with an erect posture, the way Lord Venkateshwara stands.
Mm-hmm.
With his feet together and hand beside him. My father looked at him and said, oh my God, he's standing like Lord Venkateshwara. The next moment, when he looked at his feet, from the feet rolled down tulsi leaves dipped in sandal paste.
From Swami's feet?
From Swami's feet.
He saw that?
Yes. Along with the tulsi leaves, wet, dipped in sandal paste, three of them, he held and took namaskar, and from that day there was no turning back, because Swami had showed him that he was indeed the family deity Lord Venkateshwara. This was a turning point to the entire family.
There cannot be anything much more certain and, I mean, so, so powerful. Absolutely.
But he went home and told my mother. My mother didn't believe. She said, somebody's completely duped you. How can you believe that person with a mop of hair like that, lips are red with pan, he's God? See, you tell he's sannyasi, nice Mahatma, I agree. God, are you mad? Are you out of your head? Has somebody done some, completely fooled you? What's happened to you? But my father insisted, and brought my mother to Prashantalyam. And my mother is usually critical and she was sarcastic. She looked at everyone and said, "Oh my God, look at it. Look at him. He's coming for darshan. And people are trying to fall at his feet. And there is a Sevadal volunteer telling, don't. They're trying to hold him back. And Swami also is telling, no. And what people? These people don't have sense. How can you try to hold a man's feet when he's walking? Won't he fall down? If they really have so much devotion, can't they do it in their mind?" That was her thought, the morning darshan.
Mm-hmm.
But now she got the first row for the next darshan. And as Swami came by, everyone was touching the feet. She thought, "Oh my God, if I don't touch his feet, what will people think?" And also she thought, "Okay, so what? Endaro Mahanubhavalu, there are so many big people. Let people touch his feet, he's a sannyasi." So as she got ready to touch his feet, Swami moved back 3 steps and said, "Manasle chesko," and went off. Do it in your mind. And this completely shook her.
All mind-numbing experiences both the parents have got.
So they were clean bold after that. So I had 2 sisters, one 11 years older than I am, and 9 years older than I am. So they also became Sai devotees, and my father started off the Hubli Samiti, and he started off even doing the Bhajan Samiti, Nagar Sankirtan, whatever he needs to do. He was very active there in 66, 67, 68. So in the year 68, he again had a kind of a desire. How nice it will be when the Lord of the universe is coming to chant Veda and lead him. My mother had a kind of desire. She'd see Swami's mother coming and giving food. How nice it will be to cook food for Swami. So 1968, Swami came to Hubli.
Okay.
And when he came to Hubli, he went to one Dr. Naregal's house. And Dr. Naregal said, "See, Srinivasaya," that's my father's name, "can you do Veda Ghosham and with Purnakambam invite Bhagwan into our house?" And father was delighted. Then he called my mother and said, "See, we are all Marathis, we don't know how to do South Indian dish. Can you do some South Indian dish? I think there's some puliyogare or something that they did." And my mother served it to Swami. And my father started doing welcomed him doing the Vedam chanting. And as he was doing, Swami joined him, telling, "Nakarmana, Naprajaya, Tyage, Tyage Naikena. Tyaga, Tyaga is important." My father still keeps reminding me of this. This was way before I was born, because I was born in 69. So this was 60. So what happened? My family was already a completely a Sai family, who was getting interviews whenever they come here. Completely converted. A new excitement of being a Sai devotee was still there.
Yes.
And that was the time when I was born in the family.
Wow. So, it's really to come into Bhagwan's fold in 60s is really an amazing opportunity. I mean, that's a huge blessing that Swami had conferred.
Because my father kept telling that there were so few people, and it is almost just asleep in the veranda, suddenly Swami would come off there. And
yes.
It's almost like we talk of the Kodaikanal experiences.
Yeah.
They talk of that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, definitely, family is so blessed that Swami chose to bring your parents to him. Right, even before you were born. So you're already come into a family which is already in love with Bhagwan.
Yes.
So you grew up adoring Bhagwan as God.
Yeah. So even before that, what happened? So in the year 1968, my parents had an interview.
Okay.
And Swami revealed a lot of things to them. And that point in time, he said, "See, you have 2 daughters. I'll give you a son." And the next year, I was conceived. But there were a lot of complications when I was in my mother's womb. That is, in those times, the doctor said you have to undergo operation, it's a cesarean, and in those days, not many hospitals were well equipped. So all the doctor said, you have to go to a city, don't go to a village, and be careful, it's dangerous, it's not, the baby's in a totally weird position, and all the x-rays and everything showed them that, they should take x-rays those days, showed them that particular thing. So my mother said, see, I am not going to undergo any operation till Swami tells me. So in the 8th month of pregnancy, she came to Prashant Nilayam. And she is just under the tree there, and Swami came out for darshan, straight away went to her and told her, see, doctor hedarsta idare, magu ulta ide anta helta idare, operation agbeku anta helta idare, enu agalla, Swami idare. Doctors are scaring you that you have to undergo operation. The baby is in a wrong position. But don't worry, nothing will happen. No operation. Swami is there. He created Vibhuti and gave it to my mother.
Wow.
This is the 8th month of pregnancy. So my mother went back to Hubli. So even when I was being born, on the day of the delivery, I was still in the wrong position. So the doctors came and told my father to sign on the operation consent form. My father said, I can't, because Baba has said it's going to be normal. The doctor said, are you mad? Some person tells you like this and you're going to believe it. Your wife is dying there. So they got ready. They wore all the thing and moved my mother to the pre-operation theater to take her inside. At that point in time, they again came to take my father's consent. My father said, Swami, I don't know, all your ichha, and signed. And they went in, and before they got into the operation thing, I was born.
Wow.
So all the people who were there, the doctors, were wondering what happened, because so many of them became devotees later on. Because it was in those days, right, 1969, August, I was born.
This is in Hubli only.
Hubli only, in Railway Hospital, Hubli. There's no way this can happen, because just now we've seen. So that's what, this was born in Hubli. Then, I think when I was 4 months old, they took me to Vrindavan and told Swami, please name him. Swami said, Vijay Sai Pera Pettu. So I was named Vijay Sai. Then again about 2.5-3 years, just before my third year, they asked me for cutting the hair. Swami said, no, don't. Piercing the ear. Swami said, no, he's a boy, don't pierce the ear. But then he took me and made me write Omkar. I mean, those days, Swami used to hold the hand and make you write.
It's Aksharabhyasam.
Aksharabhyasam. Yes. So I had the good fortune of getting that Aksharabhyasam.
Initiation of
Swami.
Education. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, so your name by Bhagwan Swami has initiated you into learning. And I think right from that time itself, now when you look back in hindsight, he was preparing you. He was preparing you in so many ways.
Yes.
He willed that you come. He told your mother that
I
have a child.
I just don't have words to say.
Yes.
I don't have words to say. My eyes are filled with tears of the gratitude for all that he has done for me in this life.
Yes. Amazing. So, when you were in school, did it occur to you that you want to become a student in Bhagwan's institution?
No, see, for me what happened is, right from my childhood, the only God I knew was Baba. My father being in the railways, he had all the passes applied only to Puttaparthi. We did not go to any other functions. There's something called PTO where you get 1/3 fare. There's 6 PTOs, and almost regular basis, coming to Puttaparthi, staying in the Ganesh shed, was a default thing that would happen. And interviews would also happen default.
Some would always call.
Many times he's called. And he's revealed his omniscience of the time I was about 4 or 5, because I used to be very stubborn and not listen to my parents when they tell something. And one day Swami called me and said, see, why you are not listening to your parents? Amma paila ya kerta ila? Kerbeku. And I got scared. Because parents would say, every time I've been taught about his omnipresence, he's watching. Yes. He's listening. So I've grown up understanding that I am not alone. I've grown up with the feeling from the childhood that Sai will take care of me. Because there's not a single day I left the house without Vibhuti being applied on my forehead. And suppose I had left my house by mistake without really being applied on the forehead, in the school also, I remember my mother and father coming, calling me out of the classroom, putting the vibhuti and then sending me inside. So this became, you know, a part of my, like in a sense, there's nothing new to me about Swami being omnipresent. Nothing new to me about Swami being omniscient. It was by default. This is my mother. This is my father. This is my grandfather. This is my God.
Yes.
It's only later on when people are like, oh, for others, oh, he's not God. It started occurring to me later on.
Yeah, it is a very natural thing.
It's a very natural thing. And when people say, where am I going? I'm going to my God's place. Where Puttaparthi? Sai Baba is my God. You know.
Yes. You never thought that there could be another world for someone else.
No. I know, because I started going to my family deity now after marriage.
Okay.
So from then on till now, I've not even seen that place. For more than about 23 years of my life. Puttaparthi was the only place
only
I knew.
Place. Fantastic. So, obviously you got into Balvikas and this Pre-Sevadal and all that. So after that, was it a natural sort of an interest to join Bhagwan's institution as a student?
No. See, what happened was, all along my father wanted me to get my third ceremony done with Bhagwan.
Okay.
So, those days were not the days of lots for darshan lines. Those were the days when we used to rush in the morning at about 4 o'clock, 3:30.
First come, first serve.
Put a towel there and go and sit there.
Okay.
And so, I used to wear that particular robe, the ochre kind of a thing, get ready and wait.
For
Swami to come and do Upanayanam for me.
Every day you should be dressed like that and wait.
I should be dressed like that and wait. And I waited like that, I think, for more than about 10 to 15 darshans over the years. But Swami never did it.
Mm-hmm.
He used to come, he used to talk, he used to give vibhuti, he used to do everything, but never did that.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, so that point in time, I used to watch all these people in white and white coming in and going and sitting there and going back. And I knew they were students. I had heard that my father used to take me to Kamavadhani because he used to go and do Veda Mantra from there and other things. Patshala, those places I used to go with father. Kvataruksha I used to go to and do the meditation there. And you know, it's been initiated to it from childhood. I'm a Balika student.
Yes.
I've been trained everything. It's only in the year 1985, during Swami's 60th birthday, suddenly I had the separation from Swami. I came totally confident, you know, Swami is God and He knows me and I know Him kind of a feeling. And I come here, I see people everywhere. And also for the first time I saw, there were lots of police and security and this, and they're not allowing anyone close by. Swami's car is going, I'm trying to do namaskar, the police is pushing me aside, where this is near, where the junction between the hospital, old hospital, there where it goes to Hillview Stadium, somewhere there. So I used to have darshan from the ad block. The rocks near the ad block sit there.
Oh.
And I had a binocular sometimes, other times, and the entire thing was full. And there were, I could see that, like a Kanakambara flower, one orange speck there, which I now assumed that was Baba. And all around them, like jasmine flowers, white and white and white. And I, at that point in time, if I felt envious or jealous, that was the first time in my life. I really felt, oh my God, he's there. I can't even go near him. And all these people are just there with him. And I heard Maynard Ferguson performing and the students performing and singing. And that point in time, my heart longed. I cried. I said, I am going to become a student of Swami's college. Come what may. But suddenly something dawned on me. Am I actually living according to what Swami wants? No, I'm not. So I should. I had so much Sai literature at home. So I went back after birthday, picked up the first literature that was Sadhana, the Inward Path.
Okay.
I read the book end to end. So I started getting up in the morning at 4:30, doing Jyoti meditation, doing Omkaram.
Preparation for?
Doing Suprabhatam.
Coming.
Because I thought, so Swami, I took everything literally.
Means you have to please Swami somehow.
No, I really thought that all these are yogis, all these are rishis, and that's the way everyone does in Satsai College. And I got to do it that way to get admitted to Swami school. Because that's my way, that's the way I have to be. And I did this in my first PUC, second PUC. Second PUC I scored very good marks.
11th and 12th grade.
11th and 12th class. They wanted me to join engineering. I said, nothing doing, I'm joining Prashant Nilya. I'm joining Puttaparthi. So with that kind of, I had in those 2 years, 85 to 87, developed a kind of detachment from my body. Body is a water bubble. It's useless. Don't consider the body. Everything is beyond the body. Everything is the soul and the atma. I was in that particular mode because sadhana, the inward path, and all Swami's books were inside out. I'd known it. I could quote verbatim. I read it so much. I started reading the Gita, started reading everything, Journey of the Soul, lots of these things. And in the year 1987, by God's grace, I cleared the interview and the entrance test and got the admission in my first degree in Prashant Nilayam.
Wow. So that was a turning point, the 60th birthday in 1985.
Yeah, 60th birthday in 1985 was that inner stirring.
Yes.
That
for a moment you felt that this is the Swami with whom I had so much access. And
correct.
And now suddenly it seems like, yes, I am nowhere.
Yes. And I used to go back and read Bhagavata Vahini because I used to feel like Parikshit was with Krishna and he had named him, he had done that, he had done this. And now suddenly Parikshit could not get close at all because Krishna was not there. He used to only hear his stories. What is happening? Why am I losing off? I'm losing my Swami.
Yes.
That was the kind of feeling I had. I was yearning, I was longing, I was praying. You know, those were the best time of my life, where a lot of inner churning, inner transformation actually happened.
Wow. Fantastic. And it was that intense desire to get that proximity with Swami that made you do a lot of introspection, prepare yourself.
Correct.
To become his student, prepare right. yourself to do whatever is needed to be near and dear to him, literally.
Correct.
Near and dear to him. And I think that was, I think as you mentioned, when you look back, that was one very, very significant period.
Significant for me, because that was exactly when the adolescent had, it was almost 16 to 18 years.
Yes, yes. And at that age, when you get all that understanding, something's, gets instilled in your mind, which sort of becomes a foundation for you.
Correct.
In the rest of your thinking
right.
in life.
And that's why, later on, even though I had the closest of proximity with Swami, I never once forgot he was God. Never once. Although I was in the Maya, I was still out of the Maya,
yes.
because this strong foundation of yes. being in a Sai family, the Balvikas, these books, this literature, made me understand that although Swami behaves like us, yes. he is beyond all this.
That was always in your mind.
That was always in my mind.
But that would have really helped you so much, right?
Yeah, that really helped me. That has helped me even today for yes. my understanding that he is my Antaryami, he is with me. That particular feeling really helped me a lot.
Fantastic. So it would have been at that point in time, it would have been really utter delight, right? When you got into the, you know, it was really a dream come true.
Yeah, it was a
all
dream.
That you had done penance and
yes.
pine
yes.
for, and you know, did so much of virtually tapas.
Yeah,
for
it was tapas. For 2 years.
Yeah, and finally you get in.
Yeah,
and so how did it feel then? And what was the imagination of what you thought you were getting into, and what was it really like?
I want to tell you that. First of all, let me tell you how Swami broke the bubble. So here I was, totally confident about everything, and so delighted that I got into the divine university of Satya Sai instead of higher learning. And people told me, you know, physical Baba is different from divine Baba. I said, what? See, although he knows, he might ask you your name. Although he knows, he might ask you, where did you come from? I said, this is nonsense, yeah? He's named me. He's there with me all the time. I have this relationship with him. I do not want him now to shake me up again, asking, where did you come from? No, no, he normally asks, kahan se aaya? And he asks, what's your name? What your father karta hai? He'll ask all those.
What does your father
I
do?
I said, what does your father do? I said, no, Swami, I do not want this. And here I was sitting in the darshan line on day one of darshan, and inside I had this, see, you already know me, I already know you. I do not want this drama. You are not going to come and you're not going to come in front of me and ask me, what's your name, where did you come from? You are going to reveal to me that you already know me. Okay, Swami? And that was the feeling. And I also had the feeling that body is useless. What is the use of the body? All is divinity, all is soul, is everything. Body is just a water bubble, mind is a mad monkey, I was like that. And as I sat darshan line, Swami came, looked at me and stopped with the letters in his hand. I said, oh my God, now is he going to ask me what's your name? Swami looked at my face and said, kitna pimples?
So many pimples.
Waved his hand, created vibhuti and said, take this for the pimples, apply it here and this one, and every day take B-complex tablets. And he went off. Here I'm thinking, body is useless. And here Swami comes and says, use vibhuti for pimples. I was completely shaken. I loved it. See, he cared for me.
Yes.
But here I was, I'd taken everything from sadhana, the inward path, from bhajagovindam, literally, oh no, all this is maya, no, I should not, body is not important kind of feeling, and he comes and gives me vibhuti for that. And 2 days later, I'm sitting somewhere inside. He comes back again, he calls me, come. I get up. Then he says, dekho, you must do hot water fermentation. You know what's hot water fermentation? I said, no, Swami. You have turkey towel? I said, yes, Swami. Take turkey towel, take hot water, put the towel in the hot water. He showed me the hand to wring the hot one. Then water will have gone, this way, then put it there. Okay? By doing that, all the pimples will go. And take B-complex. Then Venchalam, Ventachalam, he called. Boy ko hot water do.
The kitchen in charge.
Kitchen in charge.
Even hot water.
I said, oh my God.
What is this? This Lord is totally
what
confusing.
It is confusing. But I loved it.
But at the same time, see, if you see this incident, you wanted that Swami should not ask you what is your name, where do you come from, because you wanted that feeling that he should let you know that he knows you.
Correct.
And there could not have been another better way to do it.
Better way to do it.
I mean, he knew you through and through, think about your pimple.
And you know, I think, oh my God, he has so many better things to do, take care of all the worlds, and he's worried about my pimples.
That's amazing. I mean, the way he broke ice, I think that is fantastic.
The way he broke ice was, again, he revealed to me that he listens to every word of mine.
Yes.
He's the Antaryami and he knows.
Yes. And the same time, he was also telling you that, you know, everything has to be taken in a balanced way, in the right way.
Right.
You cannot say that body is not important. You're in this world. And he was trying to give you all the subtle messages, how to lead a balanced life.
So that particular thing, first thing is, it is a welcome for me.
Yes.
Second thing, it was letting me know that I am Antaryami, I know, okay, I'm not asking your name.
Yes.
Third thing, it is showing his care that I'm bothered about you, take care. I'm there for you, don't worry.
Yes.
Fourth thing to show, see man, I have a special bond for you.
Exactly.
It made me feel so special that day.
Yeah. Well, and if someone was really concerned about your looks and everything, right. Yeah, he's really so concerned
yes.
about you. He's like a mother. Like a, wow. So that's how it all began,
yes.
Right? So you really felt so comfortable.
Yeah.
Right from day one.
Right from day one.
So was it difficult adjusting in the hostel?
Honestly, yes.
Because you were at home.
What happened? I had no, not like that. Because I thought everyone in the hostel will be like rishis. So when I sat at the hostel day one and I told someone I want to go and meditate. Some of them, you want to meditate, man? They laughed. Then I said, hey, my God. And then so what happened? So I realized that people, now I know when I look back, people had practical spirituality.
Yes.
Because everyone had love for Baba.
Yes.
But they did not do all these practices that I had thought, like the penance, that kind of a thing. That, because these are all finally for developing love for the Lord.
Correct.
When love for the Lord is there, all these are not required.
Yes.
But in my limited understanding and awareness that time, I had felt a little odd man out at the beginning.
How come that there's nobody sitting here and doing long periods of meditation?
Like, it's not that. How can people bunk Suprabhatam? How can... I was like that at the beginning.
Yes, initially, yes. So there were those years of adjusting to the environment in the hostel.
No, what happened was the expectation was too high.
Yes, it happens. We forget that the hostel also is a mini world.
Yeah.
Where Swami is training us.
Yes.
If it's in a very idealistic environment, then once you come out of it, you'll be totally misfit in the society.
Correct. So now I understand everything in the right perspective. But that point in time, I used to, wonder what's happening, kind of a...
Exactly. I mean, I also went through the same sort of feelings. So I can relate to that.
When some people would say, no, don't do that, don't do this. I used to even tell, some of them reminded me recently, somebody had something I told him, I said, no, don't worry. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha, I told somebody. And, I was in a fantasy world for a long time.
That's because you had spent so much time ruminating on Swami's discourses.
Yes.
And the thing was, now Swami was trying to see how you can practically apply these in life. And that sort of had begun.
He was bringing me back into reality.
Reality. You have to mix spirituality and reality. You cannot live in an ethereal utopian world.
I was completely in the forest. But Swami made the head in the forest, hands in society. That's what he brought about.
So, okay. So how did it go on after that in Vrindavan? Did the singing start right from the day one or?
No, see, our batch was separately called as T3. T3 means transferred from 1 to 3.
What is that?
First semester, we were all in Prashanthi Nilayam.
Mm-hmm.
Second semester, we were all shifted to Vrindavan.
Okay.
And that also, I was touched by the way Swami reacted, because a couple of my seniors had gone with Swami to Kodaikanal in their 12th standard. It was one Ashok Unni, there was one Sunil Narang, and... There were a couple of other classmates of mine, Rakesh Mahapatra, and Swami loved them so much, so they held Swami's hand on day one. We were all supposed to go to Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Swami, we are not going to Vrindavan. Swami said, but you have to go. No, Swami, we do not want to go to Vrindavan. We want to be with you here. We can't leave you and go, Swami, because you're not going to come to Vrindavan till the next year, I know. No, Swami, we want to be here. At this time, I realized how, so when Swami says, my heart is like butter and the warmth will is going to melt. And these boys cried. I had not seen this relationship between Swami and students, right? Because they all held Swami, they all get up Swami, they surrounded him. Swami, please Swami, no Swami, please Swami, no Swami. And we are not going to bring down Swami. And we were all surprised because we were all new students from outside. And there were all these people from 12th standard from here. And Swami, you don't want to go? So, no. Called Chakravarti, who was the registrar at the time, Sri Chakravarti. He also called Sri S.N. Saraf, who was the vice chancellor. He said, all these boys will not go to Vrindavan, make them stay here.
Wow.
So our bus was arranged the next day to take us to Vrindavan. So that particular year in Vrindavan, there was no first year degree.
There was no first year degree in Vrindavan? 1987?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we had a vice chancellor's conference that particular year. And Swami told, okay, Swami told them, oh, conference is there, we need boys, let them be here. And that showed me how Swami, you could even change the Lord's mind by really genuinely showing the love and warmth and devotion.
You saw what is a real practical demonstration of winning over the Lord's heart through your love. So that would have given you a really new perspective.
Yeah, really new perspective. And that particular year was very good because before the Vice Chancellor Conference, when we used to have our social work and other things, Swami used to come to the college, watch us work, and go and talk to us every now and then. And so the talking, little small talk from that time only had started off from a long time till about, I think August or September was, August was the Vice Chancellor's Conference. We were very actively involved in all that. And then finally, for the next year, we were sent, for the next semester, we were sent to Vrindavan.
Okay. Second semester you went to Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Okay, you had to go.
We had to go.
Okay. Wow, but I think a very profound lesson had got instilled in your mind, right? You had learned how to relate to Bhagwan.
Yeah.
In ways that you had never ever before imagined.
Yeah, ever before. And also, it is a wonderful opportunity because that entire semester, Bhagwan did not go to Vrindavan. He was here.
Okay, so you 6 months you had to spend without Bhagwan. So that would have been another period of feeling that separation from him.
Yes, getting the darshan, staying there, waiting for him to come. And in those days, the sand used to be there and when I used to walk by. And
I know.
The beautiful thing altogether.
Mm. So you missed that and now you must be really pining and longing for that.
Yes, yes, yes.
So Swami did come to Vrindavan next year. Did he come or?
He in the second semester, that was again a turning point in my life. He came in the month of, I think, end January he came.
Okay. So you didn't have Swami for good part of the second year also?
Yeah.
The first semester, third semester
we didn't have. We had come here for birthday.
You used to come to Bharti, yeah.
December we didn't have. We had come here for sports meet.
Yes.
And then in the month of January he came to, end January he came to Vrindavan. He stayed there till May.
Okay.
And that was the time when the actual physical bonding with Swami started off.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swami used to call us to Tarai Vrindavan. And suddenly one day, on day two of his visit there, he said, "Kaun boy speak karta hai?" And he made one boy get up. And the first speech was given by my brother Shravan, mm-hmm. who's now serving in the Satsai Hospital, Whitefield, I still remember. So he got up and spoke for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
He had the first speech among the students, that particular batch.
Okay.
1 year senior to me. So thereafter, Swami then asked somebody else to speak. So every day we used to ask people to speak. So this continued for about 6 to 7 days. So on the 7th day, he looked and asked, "Who will speak?" He looked at me, "Will you speak?" I said, "Yes, Swami." So I stood up. I stood up and started off singing Yam Brahma Varnendra Rudra Marutaha. Thereafter, I talked about Adi Shankara's Shivamanasa Puja, which I had learnt from my father, and spoke about it completely. In the end, I recited a poem composed by me, read out, and I had known the poem by heart. I completely told it out, and Swami was delighted.
Oh.
He said, "See, kaisa acha gata hai. Very nice." Then Narsimhan, he called, who was the editor of Sarasvati, "How is the boy's poem?" They said, "Swami, poem is very nice, Swami. Please take the poem, put it in Sanatan Sarthi."
Oh, wow.
So it came in the next Sanatan Sarthi.
Wow.
Then he was very happy. Then he asked me, "How did you learn all this?" So Swami developed interest for it. And then, "How did you develop interest?" I said, "Swami, I was in Balvikas." He was so happy. He called Padmanabhan. He called, "See, Balyuka student. That's why he's like that. He knows all these things. Slokas and everything." That was a turning point in my life. Because after that, after 3 days, in the Kalyan Mandapam, he looked at me and said, "Get up." I said, "Yes. Swami, whatever you spoke that day inside, please speak that."
Again.
I repeated the whole thing again. It was like, a pride when a parent shows up the child who can sing a little song, no?
Yes.
It's like that. And Swami was very happy.
Proud mother.
Proud mother, And the twinkle in his eyes showed, wow, he really
is. He's my student. He's my Baljika's. He has learned all that he's saying is so sacred and so pure.
Because the background to it I learned later on. Because the Balvikas was started by Mrs. Padmanabhan,
okay.
with Swami's guidance, who had gone to their house
in Bangalore.
In Bangalore. So he was telling him, "See, Balvika student."
Yes. And Mr. Padmanabhan was there. Wow.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai. take my love.